In today's gospel passage, we read about the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan and then led into the wilderness before he begins his ministry. You can picture that day. The Jordan River is flowing freely, and Jesus walks into the liquid wonder God created. Jesus is the living water, and he is still flowing through each of our lives. I hope it's not a trickle, but filling you in abundance and overflowing from you to others who are around you with love and support and encouragement and so forth. We are in the season of Lent, and I have no idea what kind of things that you have chosen this particular year of Lent, that you may fast, you may do other things, but that's between you and God. But out of the day, today's gospel passage, short it may be, in fact, usually Mark is shorter than the rest of the gospel in terms of stories and so on, details. But this morning, I'd like to share with you out of this short passage from the book of Mark, chapter 1, seven marks that we may consider. Firstly, verse 9, the mark of origin. The mark of origin. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. God marks you and I with the genesis of his thumbprints when we are created. Verse 9 highlights Jesus' place of origin on the earth, in where he lived as a child in Nazareth. A real place, not a fictitious fantasy place. A real place of history in his earthly existence. But more importantly, as the Son of God, both human and divine. Where you came from, very important. A story from people coming from this place, that place, overseas. It marks our origin to a great extent. Even more crucial is not where you came from and where are you going and where are you heading. And I believe that's even more important. Jesus' role as a savior has been marked by his destiny on earth. From even before time begins. In John chapter 17, verse 5, he said, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, which I had with you before the world was. Jesus' destiny as a Son of God was marked from the beginning. That's the origin. Your origin, our origin, arise from the eternal God, the timeless King, that is our identity in this life. The second mark is a mark of vision, a mark of vision. In verse 10, it says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. For Jesus, it is a mark of anointing. As the Son of God, the Greek word for he saw in the verse is Eiden, E-I-D-E-N. It means not just seeing with eyes, but also to see with the mind and see with the heart. And to pay attention, to experience, to comprehend. It's a very comprehensive word of meaning. Jesus sees God as God sees. God wants to give you, all of us, discernment, spiritual sight of seeing deeply beyond the surface. We need vision to be able to see what God sees, so we can do what God would do for the people around us, to love our neighbors, to love others, to see from God's eyes. The third mark is a mark of approval. In verse 11, it says, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" The voice of God speaks of approval over Jesus. This approval is not won after the mission is accomplished. It is given beforehand, before Jesus goes into his ministry on earth. You and I don't earn God's love and approval. It is already ours, given to us freely as a gift. God validates you. No need to wait for others' validation. God affirms you. No need to earn others' affirmation. There is no higher approval than that from God himself. God's approval marks his son Jesus. And God's approval marks every son and daughters of the kingdom of God. That's who you are. And that's you, believer. The fourth mark is the mark of the wilderness. Wilderness. In Mark chapter 1 verse 12 it says, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness." At once the Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. God proves your anointing in your wilderness. You may not like it, but it is part of that approval. God prepares your resilience in your wilderness. When you experience seasons of difficulty, isolation, battles, waiting, God is developing something in you to grow exponentially more powerful. Notice the parallelism here. John the Baptist came out of wilderness when he started preaching about the coming of the Messiah. Then Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days as the coming Messiah. Mark wants us, the reader, to know something is happening inside that wilderness. We may not appreciate it. We may find it tough going, but many things can happen in that wilderness. God may send you and I into a wilderness to prepare us for the wilderness experience of life, to build the stamina that is needed to overcome the wilderness of spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical tolls life and ministry takes on us. James said this way, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It is in the wilderness we persevere. We struggle, but we persevere. And out of that come goodness. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he was already equipped with everything he needed to do. Not only to survive, but the wilderness, but come out of us victoriously. Come out of the wilderness victoriously. God is not trying to create something to put you and I that he didn't already weave into our DNAs. He is trying to activate the power that is resting in us and to open it and to use it for future. Jesus had the power to overcome the devil in the wilderness from day one. It wasn't just after a few days that he developed that. From day one, he had the power to overcome. Let the wilderness activate your power to a higher level. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. That's what it says in 1 John. Because greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. Mark number 5, in verse 13, the mark of temptation. The verse says, he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Temptations may be unavoidable, but so is angelic presence. So is God's presence. The angels will minister to you in your wilderness. How do we overcome? Jesus overcomes temptation from the devil because of obedience. He is willing and chose to give his life for his mission, no matter what Satan threw at him. He will stay obedient to God's purpose in his life on earth. When we trust in Jesus, his blood covers you so that you are an overcomer. Seek Jesus and cling to the faith, your faith that God has planted in your life. Don't let a season of human weakness make you feel entrapped and vulnerable to what forces of darkness would render. God has better. God gives better. You can trust God to give you the best. Mark number 6, we're almost there, two more. Verse 14, the mark of preaching of good news. Mark chapter 1:14 says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The kingdom of God is phenomenal. It's a phenomenon that must be declared, must be preached, must be proclaimed. Jesus' main mission is to declare the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we repeatedly see that in the gospel and other scriptures parts that tell us that the purpose of Jesus is to proclaim the kingdom of God. Salvation is part of the kingdom of God. Jesus did not come to proclaim the kingdom of Rome or any other authorities, but God. John the Baptist came preaching about Messiah. Now the Messiah is here. Jesus preaches about his kingdom to welcome all who want to enter into that kingdom. And brothers and sisters, that is something worth preaching, something worth proclaiming through our lives, through our words, through our action. That's what we are called to do, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. All right, last mark. Verse 15, the mark of kingdom time. The mark of kingdom time. Verse 15, it said, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. When Jesus showed up, it's kingdom time. Kingdom time is the dawning of Jesus and of his reign. Jesus' way, Jesus' truth, and Jesus rules. Jesus is the king who rules in selfless love, I should say. If you notice, verse 15 says, repent and believe. God wants everyone. God wants you and I to believe him. And if you are a believer, fantastic. Why? When you believe in God, you receive every good promises that God gives to you. Believe and receive and claim those promises. He answers prayers as we often experience. He works miracles, and we have seen those miracles happen around us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 3, say, now we who have believed enter that rest. Isn't that great? Believe that we can enter that rest that God has prepared for each and every one of us. You can rest when you believe God is working it out. Rest in God's promises. Rest and assure that God is working through your life despite wilderness, despite whatever else we may face. You don't have to worry about it because God can handle it. God can handle it. God wants us to see and believe that he is a good God, a kind God, a loving God, a peaceful God, and a caring God. Brother and sister, kingdom time is near. Kingdom time is here. Operates according to a clock of God's endless loving kindness. Isn't God good? Amen.